Our reading today is Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 to 9. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learnt or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
Good morning, Dixon Baptist Church. It's a joy to be with you on this occasion. You know, as a Bible college lecturer, you are with students for 3 years, living with them, training them, equipping them for this moment. This is what we prepare them for them to enter into ministry. So it's a joy to be able to share this induction service of Heidi with you. Now, in this sermon today, you're going to hear me referring to times that my late wife, Kathy, and I were serving in Turkey and experiences we had there. And that's because Heidi last year went with Kathy and I to Turkey and saw the end results of our ministry years there, which is a church that's thriving there in a 99% Muslim context. But I wanted her to hear that some of the experiences of that road to get to that joyful ending. Ministry is often lots of hard, long years before you get to that joyful ending. So I wanted Heidi to hear a bit about that today. Because the reality is, ministry and life can often be very challenging and difficult. In fact, there was a thorough survey done by the Barna Group in 2022 that found that 42% of pastors had considered quitting full-time ministry within the past year. That was up from 38% who considered quitting in 2021. Some of the reasons were given: the immense stress of ministry, feeling lonely and isolated, and not feeling optimistic about the future of their church. The statistics for overseas missionaries, unfortunately, were not any better. A survey of 40,000 missionaries serving with 600 different mission agencies found that 43% of missionaries did not fulfill the length of service they had committed to when they went to the field. Interpersonal problems, interpersonal relationship problems with other missionaries is still one of the main reasons for that dropout. How are we to serve well our great God for our entire lifetime? How do we remain faithful to the ministry that God has called us to? And if you're a child of God, you have a ministry. If you haven't discover that yet, work with your church family, discover it, but God has given a ministry to every one of his followers. How are we to live as faithful Christians, bringing God glory until the day he calls us from this temporary home of ours on earth to our eternal home with him. Well, we're going to see God gives us some of those answers in Philippians 4, the passage we're going to look at today. It starts off with a problem. I plead with Euodia on our circumstances. Let's refresh what verses 4 through 7 say. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul tells us here to rejoice always and to be anxious about nothing. Never be anxious. Now, I tend to not like definitive statements. I always want to find there's got to be some exception, right? Rejoice always and never be anxious. Are there not some times, are there not some situations in life where we're justified to be anxious and justified to not rejoice? Well, the answer to that question depends on if you're focusing on the circumstance or you're focusing on God, who is the sovereign God of the universe, who in his goodness and sovereignty has allowed those circumstances to come into your life. So practically speaking, how do we, it's easy to say, focus on God and not on your circumstances, but practically speaking, how do we do that? How do we maintain joy in life and in ministry and avoid becoming anxious? Well, Paul gives us one simple answer. It's got two parts to it, but the simple answer is to pray. To pray with intercession and to pray with thanksgiving. Now, when we lift up our needs and our prayers to God, and when we pray with thanksgiving, that helps us turn our focus off the thing that is causing us such stress that we're praying about it, and it turns our focus onto God. We're supposed to bring our request to God. We're supposed to pray about our needs. And when we bring our needs, when we bring our circumstances that are causing us pain, discouragement, confusion, sadness, when we bring those to God, and we know that he's big enough to meet those needs, we discover that we have peace because they're in his hands and not our hands. But that's not enough, because sometimes if we just pray about our circumstances, if we pray about what's discouraging us or making us sad, it can cause us to still stay just focused on that. But he tells us that we're supposed to, with this prayer of intercession, we're supposed to also pray with thanksgiving. When we focus on all that God has done for us, salvation, every spiritual blessing in Christ, when we see all the good gifts in our lives that have come from his gracious hand, when we remember all of the answers he's given us to our prayers in the past, it tends to get our eyes focused off our current need onto a very gracious and kind and loving Father who's been benevolent to us throughout our lifetime. And we see in this passage, when we pray this way, when we lift our request up to God and we pray with thanksgiving, something comes in that replaces that temptation to anxiety. It's the peace of God. And Paul describes this wonderful peace of God with two aspects to it. The first one is the peace of God that will fill your hearts and minds, this peace of God transcends all understanding. Now, one commentator that I read translates that phrase, transcends all understanding, to the peace of God, which is better to the answers to all of your questions, why? In life and ministry, when it's hard and painful and confusing, we're tempted to ask God, why? Why is this happening to me? Why are they treating me this way? Why did she die so young? But this passage shows us the wonderful truth that there's something much better than the answers to those questions why. You see, even if you knew the answer to those questions why, it doesn't really help. The pain, the hurt, the confusion is still there. In the pain, confusion, darkness that sometimes comes to us in life and ministry, what we really need is not answers. What we really need is God. We need His peace and we need His comfort. We need the assurance that He's there, that He sees and knows our situation. We need the assurance that He cares and that He's sovereignly in control. And coming to God in prayer with thanksgiving reminds us of those wonderful truths that God does see and hear. Now, the second wonderful aspect of this piece, it's better than all the questions, your answers to your questions why. The second part of it is it guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, think of Paul's day. Big cities in those days throughout the world were often walled for protection. And in the walls, there were gates that allowed you to go in and out of the walled city. And at the gates, there were guards. There were actually two kinds of guards. Guards that were on the outside of the gates that kept enemies and bad people from coming into the city. But there were also guards on the inside of the gate that kept bad people, criminals, wanted people from escaping the city. And in Greek, there's two different words to tell which kind of guard it is. And in this passage, it's interesting to me that it's the guard on the inside of the gate. It's the same word used in 2 Corinthians 11:32 when the governor of Damascus is hunting Paul, and he guarded the city, and it's that guard on the inside of the gates. They wanted to keep Paul from escaping, so he had to be lowered down from a basket. Now, why is that significant? Why, Ed, did you find that so interesting? Well, you see, this passage shows us that the real problem with our anxiety is not those external circumstances in our life. Those external circumstances only point out to us what the real problem is, and that's that we all have a heart that struggles to trust God when things are hard, and the trust that God is truly all that we need. Now, when we were doing church planting in Antalya, we faced constant problems. Problems from the outside and problems from the inside. We had enemies trying to squash this church, scatter the believers. We had struggles. We had hurts. We had people that were not continuing on in their faith. We had divisions in the church. It felt like we were living one of Paul's letters. We were ready for Paul to write a letter about the church in Antalya. So our co-workers, Hans, Peter, and Anne, and Kathy and I, we met every Wednesday afternoon to pray. And our three-hour prayer meeting usually went like this. The first 15 or 20 minutes, we would share about all the things that were burdening our hearts. Then we would often just wipe our tears. And then we would pray for 3 hours and ask God to intercede. When you focus on God like that and not your circumstances, coming to Him with your prayers of intercession and prayers of thanksgiving, you'll find, as we did on those Wednesday afternoon prayer times, that in your darkest night, He is the light. In your deepest, darkest, coldest valley that you'll walk through, He is your good shepherd. When you're disoriented and lost in the sea of grief and pain, He is your anchor. You'll find that when you're brokenhearted, He is the God who heals the brokenhearted. You'll find when you weep, He is the God who collects your tears in a bottle of remembrance. Heidi, Dixon Baptist Church, in life and ministry, when you focus on God and not your circumstances, by being devoted in prayer, you will realize that there is no earthly pain that your Heavenly Father cannot comfort and heal. There is no anxiety that His peace cannot guard your hearts and minds against. Now, our passage ends with Paul exhorting us in life and ministry to be examples worth emulating. Let's read it again. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul states in verse 9, whatever you have learned or received from me, put into practice. Now, this is a common theme of Paul in his letters. He's often exhorting people to imitate him in his lifestyle. I was discipling a man in Antalya that was one of our leaders that we were preparing to take over the church. And he and I were covering this principle and talking about just how important it is for leaders in the church to live Christ-like examples so that people in the church who are observing you know what it looks like to follow Jesus. So I took him to 1 Corinthians. That's my Americanism slipping in. I was trying to guard against that. 1 Corinthians 4:16. He says, therefore, I urge you to imitate me. Now, when I read this to this Turkish believer, he said, with a lot of emotion, I hate that verse. I don't want people to imitate me. I want them to imitate Jesus. Well, unfortunately, his time in leadership didn't last long. Not long after that conversation, he got entangled in some sin that had legal ramifications, and he fled the country to avoid prosecution. Heidi, you have a big responsibility as a minister of the gospel. You need to live a life worth following. Now, all believers have this responsibility to live a life worth imitating. But in Scripture, it gives a special weight to leaders, spiritual leaders, for this. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Now, you're not going to do it perfectly, Heidi. I haven't. But when you fail, it gives you the opportunity to model humility and to show those watching you how to deal with sin, how to confess and repent. Now, the key to this principle is actually what that Turkish believer was struggling with. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. We can only live lives worth emulating if we're following Jesus closely. So, Heidi, walk closely with Jesus in a way that shows other people what it looks like to walk closely with Jesus. Have Him as the focus of your life. Spend time with Him daily in His word and in prayer. Seek His will, not your will, for your life. Model before people you're ministering to what it looks like to be a fallen, sinful person who's striving with all of their heart and relying on the power of the Holy Spirit to follow Jesus. Now, this passage shows us that an important aspect of this is our thought life. It tells us in verse 8, all the things we're supposed to be thinking about. And that's because what you dwell on, what you think on, what you fill your mind with, what your mind is consumed with, will shape the kind of person you become. When we were leaving Antalya and handing over the church to Turkish leaders and about to leave the city, they had a going away party for us and they hosted it in our house so that we would have to do all the cleanup afterwards. But Ramazan, the leader, asked all the people gathered to share how Kathy and I had impacted their lives. It was a very humbling time for me because not one of them ever mentioned any of the sermons I had given or any of the teaching that Kathy and I had given to them. They all mentioned things that they have observed in our lives, the way we raised and discipled our children, the way we loved each other and the way we loved them, the humble way that Kathy cooked meals for them and served them over and over and over again, the way I responded to rude drivers while I was driving. Now, if there's ever an example of the principle of God's power being perfected in weakness, that was a living example. Everyone mentioned things that they had observed in our lives. Heidi, a big part of your ministry here at Dixon Baptist Church is going to be how you live out your faith before them and before the lost in this community. Unfortunately, not everyone in ministry and not everyone in the Christian life lives a life worth emulating. Robertson McQuilkin, who had been a missionary for many years in Japan and then later moved back to the United States and became a principal of a Bible college, was troubled by how many people in ministry and in the Christian life in general just didn't finish their life well. He was troubled by how many people in their walk with Christ let sin creep in and ruin their witness. So he wrote a poem. It's actually a prayer that expressed his desire to be faithful unto the end. And it's entitled, Let Me Get Home Before Dark. And it goes like this. It's sundown, Lord. The shadows of my life stretch back into the dimness of years long spent. I fear not death. No. That grim foe betrays itself at last, thrusting me forever into life. Life with you, unsoiled and free. But I do fear. I fear this dark specter may come too soon, or do I mean too late, that I should end before I finish, or finish but not finish well, that I should stain your honor, shame your name, grieve your loving heart. Few, they tell me, finish well. Lord, let me get home before dark. The darkness of a spirit grown mean and small, fruit shriveled on the vine, bitter to the taste of my companions, a burden to be borne by those brave few who still love me. No, Lord, let the fruit grow lush and sweet, a joy to all who taste, spirit sign of God at work, stronger, fuller, brighter at the end. Lord, let me get home before dark. The darkness of tattered gifts, rust-locked, half-spent or ill-spent, a life that was once used by God, but now set aside. Glory, grief for glories gone, or fretting for a task God never gave, mourning in the hollow chambers of memory, gazing on the faded banners of victories long gone. Can I not run well into the end? Lord, let me get home before dark. The outer me decays. I do not fret or ask reprieve. The ebbing strength that but weans me from Mother Earth and grows me up for heaven. I do not cling to shadows cast by immortality. I do not patch the scaffold lent to build the real eternal me. I do not clutch about my cocoon. vainly struggling to hold hostage a free spirit, pressing to be born? But will I reach the gate in lingering pain, body distorted, grotesque? Or will it be a mind wandering, untethered among light fantasies or grim terrors? Of your grace, Heavenly Father, I humbly ask, let me get home before dark. Heidi and Dixon Baptist Church, run the race that is set before us with endurance. Finish well, run hard until you cross the finish line and fall into the arms of that Savior who loved you enough to die for you. And as you run this race, love people well. Focus on God and not your circumstances by being devoted to prayer, and live a life worth imitating Christ, or live a life that's worth imitating as you follow Christ. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you for being such a wonderful and awesome God. We thank you for drawing us to yourself, giving us the joy in this life to walk with you, the sure hope of eternal life. And on top of all of that, we thank you for the great privilege and joy it is to be co-laborers with you to spread your gospel to the ends of the earth. So I pray for Heidi, and I pray for myself, and I pray for every member here of Dixon Baptist Church, that we would serve you all of the days you've given us on this earth and bring you glory and honor, and that we would experience the joy with you of seeing your kingdom come and your will being done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.